news? Gary Webb supposedly killed himself.
No!
But, of course, nobody thinks that it was suicide.
You lying.
No.
When?
Saturday.
Oh, man.
Let me just read it. This is the opening of it. Just the headline says, reporter of CIA cocaine Contra story kills himself. The California reporter whose controversial series linked the Central Intelligence Agency with the Nicaraguan Contras and drug trafficking in Los Angeles killed himself over the weekend. I talked to both Cele and Chico about it. They basically said that it was like a shotgun blast right close to his head, and you know, but obviously nobody believes that it was suicide, but that's what the official story is supposed to be.
Oh man, I hate to hear that.
So what do you think? I mean, do you think he would have any reason to want to commit suicide?
Yeah. I'm just blown away right now. I mean, not even how it happened, but just, you know, that it happened.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know him, but I just found out today, so I figured you didn't know.
No, I didn't know.
Yeah. It's not like mainstream news or anything, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of, you know, kind of West Coast news.
Man, I hate to hear that.
Yeah, I guess he had 3 kids. Well, wife, I guess he was going through a divorce or something, but, you know, my, you know, Alex Jones, the talk show host who you talked to, he was talking about how so many of the biographers that have, like, uncovered stuff about the Bush family, now they all end up, like, you know, mysteriously committing suicide.
Yeah, right. I mean, the last time I talked to Gary, he was excited and, you know, and happy about life, and he was thriving, you know, and was looking toward the future. Just, man.
Seems pretty weird, huh?
Yeah, and he was such a good guy, you know?
I mean,
And he did so much, you know, for our case and whatnot. It's just, I don't know. It's like losing a good friend.
Yeah. I mean, what do you think? I mean, I find it hard to believe. I mean, the chances of, like, a 49-year-old man just suddenly killing himself like that are supposedly, like, 1 in 1,000,000 or 1 in 1,000,000,000 even or something. It's like some ridiculous odd, and you know, Alex was calculating the odds of it, and it's just, I don't know, it's pretty obvious.
And Gary, he had so much, but you know, he had told me before that people were following him around and tapping his phones and, you know, doing all kind of weird stuff to him, and you know, it was a lot of weird stuff he was saying was happening, you know, people on his telephone poles and...
Well, tell me about that real quick. Tell me what Gary said to you.
Well, he used to tell me that he would come home at night and there'd be guys, you know, climbing up the pole and late at night, 12 or 1 o'clock, and you know, at nighttime, and people following him around everywhere he goes. He has cars telling him, and his phone was tapped, and, you know, he said a lot of things were going on. They had moved him out from, you know, Mercury News had moved him from where he was working in Sacramento,
right,
to,
yeah,
wait some far out country town, and he was just saying that they were kind of like giving him the blues. You know, a lot of things were going on that he didn't really like, and he said it was the government too.
Wow, I mean, but I guess like the question would be though that if he'd already like done all this reporting, you know, what was the use in getting rid of him at this point? You know, unless there was still something that he was still going to do, or maybe this was like a revenge thing.
Well, you know, Gary was never satisfied with the way everything had turned out, you know, and from my understanding, he wasn't through working on the case. He was still digging and searching, trying to find the documents that would put everything together. Now, I know that for a fact, that he hadn't stopped working on the case. He was still investigating.
What do you think? Where do you think it may have led if he would have kept going?
Who knows? I mean, it you know, with so much stuff and so many people being implicated, that you know, we don't know where it would have ended. Only God knows. Surely not me. I'm not that intelligent.
Yeah, I mean, it's anybody's guess at this point, huh?
Yeah.
Man, that's exactly what they want. It's,
and then maybe he had some papers that he hadn't uncovered that may even show more evidence, because Gary was pretty thorough, you know, with his investigation.
Yeah. Man, it's incredible. So,
He was kind of like an answer, a prayer, you know, when I was going to court, we couldn't afford an investigator, and then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, boom, here this investigative reporter pop up, and he knows more about our informant than the government's telling us about. So it was kind of like, you know, he was almost like God sent to me. That's how I felt at one time, you know, that he was sent down to...
This call is from a federal prison.
To help save my life, basically.
Wow, that is sad for you, then, the loss, huh?
Yeah, he really meant a lot to me.
Did you ever know any of his other family members or anybody?
Yeah, I know his wife, and I spoke to his kids.
Wow.
I'm going to try to see if I can get a number where I can call in.
Okay, yeah, and I'll try to get that, too, for you. And I also told Todd McCormick, I gave Todd McCormick your address. Tell me what the Ricky Ross Task Force was, and when did you find out that they called it that?
It was a bunch of cops. They had assembled, I think, the best narcotic agents from, like, 3 or 4 different precincts to stop me from my drug dealing.
Mm-hmm.
The first time I found out was from an investigator. They had been stealing money and robbing people, so I went to my lawyer and I told him about it, and he didn't believe me. So what he told me that I should do is hire an investigator.
Mm-hmm.
So I hired an investigator to start investigating the cops. And then he came back and he said, hey, these cops have your name. And I said, they have my name. I know they got my name, you know. they chasing me all over town. And then he said, no, they're the Ricky Ross Task Force. And then it was like, what the, you know, it was like, just blew me out the water.
Well, hearing the news about Gary, I mean, do you ever fear for yourself on that level?
People mention that to me all the time, but I don't really fear death.
Yeah, that's cool.
You know, I feel like I've lived past all my dreams, you know, the things that I wanted out of life, and you know, when the time comes, you know, I'm going to accept it. It's just a part of living. So
yeah.
I'm not worried about that, and it's you know, it'll be out of my control anyway.
Yeah, but I mean, besides the fact whether you're afraid of dying, I mean, do you ever think that, you know, do you think that they're ever worried about, like, what you still know or what you still might say, or do you think they don't care about you anymore?
I don't really know. You know, people mention that to me all the time. I mean, guys right here, you know, like, man, what are you going to do? You should leave the country and things of that nature. But I guess I try not to focus on that.
Mm.
But I know it's possible. You know, I've been beaten up by the cops. I've been shot at them. And, you know, I've been through some of the similar situations. And I know that they'll go through basically anything to get who they want.
Yeah.
I mean... You know, even with the way I got arrested on this case, you know, I think they went through a lot to put me back in here when they really didn't need to. So.
Hey, well, before the phone disconnects, I mean, like, some of what it...
That threw a curve in there.
Yeah,
the
reading
plan.
This, like, reading from this thing, like, some blame Oliver North, President Ronald Reagan. Talk about what do you think... Gary Webb's contribution was then to the black community and to everybody then?
Well, he was kind of like a voice that we had long needed, you know, that would put out what actually happened. Gary wasn't afraid, you know, he wasn't afraid of losing his job, he wasn't afraid of putting his life on the line, because there was another guy who had did some reporting. He came up dead. I think he came up dead in a car accident. So Gary was from what I felt, Gary wasn't afraid. I mean, even with the prosecutor and the DA agent, you know, he even fronted them head on in the hallway one day, you know, and was telling them, and they were saying, well, why are you printing this story? And he was like, well, why are you guys using this guy? You know, this guy's one of the dirtiest guys in the world and all the stuff that he's been through, and I want to talk to him and I want to talk to you guys about him. So he wasn't afraid to go head to head with you.
Right.
You know, and to me, you know, that means a lot. You know,
well, what do you think Gary's contribution was in terms of, like, fighting the drug war?
Well, he did a lot of exposure. He let people know what's going on with it, the real ins and out. You know, that don't let them brainwash you to think that the government is against drugs all the way when they're not. They're sanctioning it for some people. You know, they're letting the big fish basically do what they want to do, and then they're locking up all the little fish. Because, you know, he printed in his stories, they talked about how the young black kids are getting, for an ounce of cocaine, they're getting 10 years in prison. And then here's this guy, Danilo Blandone, who's been working with the government all his life. He gets caught with 10,000 keys, and he walks away with 28 months in prison. So he's showing them that the system is not just, that it wasn't fair. I mean, he's the hero in the jailhouse to all these guys in here.
Yeah.
Everybody in here thinks that he's a hero, yeah. Because there's going to be some sad guys here that don't know him once I... Because they read his book in here all the time.
How many copies of that book do you think sold?
I'm not for sure. I think a few hundred thousand.
Yeah, so it wasn't like a big hit, but it was pretty popular then.
Yeah, well, I don't think that it was really publicized either the way it could have been to make it a better seller.
And I guess supposedly, like Chico was telling me that some big producer in L.A. had tried to get the rights to it or something, I know there's some other story he told me. This is change the channel real quick. Was there somebody at some point that was like wanting to like do a film about like your story, and then the government came in and like screwed with them?
Well, you know what? Me and Gary had went in. We was talking to an agent about doing a movie with Touchstone, and they raided the agent's office and everything. Yeah, they did that.
So, but what would be the reason for doing that, thinking that you may have told them some stories or given them some information that...
I don't know, because it was in the beginning stages. They had just sent out contracts and offers and stuff. So I don't know what exactly they had thought that they were going to get from raiding the guy's office. I just know that they did. They talked about it in court that they had went in his office and raided it and stuff.
I think it's about to cut off.
Yep. You hear